Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. It's Cake, CB, and JP. Three-man shows this week. Jason's off this week. He did come back on, was it just Friday's show, or he did Thursday, Friday. He's sick Tuesday, Wednesday. He didn't do the complete wraparound.
Right.
Which would have been the genius sickness.
And, right. And luckily, none of us came down with whatever virus he was carrying around. So I guess it had run its course. I don't like when people are sick and come in studio. That means I'm going to get sick.
All right, what's going on with Tariq El-Bashir? Scheduled to join us is Tariq El-Bashir, reporter for NBC Sports Washington, and I guess we did connect with him. I don't know, EB gave me a thumbs down before.
He wasn't online.
He gave me a big thumbs down.
I didn't know he was on the ISDN. Sorry.
He's right there on the TV.
Well, I didn't see him.
There he is. At Kettler.
What's up, Tariq?
Good morning, fellas.
Listen, I think it's going to be a good morning. I'm feeling weirdly optimistic, Tariq. No, the way this situation has played out, typically I'd be with everybody. It's same old Caps, DC Kurz, blah, blah, blah. But I really do feel like that they can't play as bad as they did to start that game five. They're going to come out here with everything on the line. We're going to see a much better effort. And when we've seen that, I feel like the Caps have shown at times that they're every bit as good as this team, if not better, when they're playing their A game.
Yeah, I would totally agree with what you just said there. And you got to remember that throughout the course of NHL playoff history, the hardest victory for a team to get is that number four victory, is that game, that series winning win, because the Capitals, in this case, are going to be pressed against it. Their backs are against the wall. They know there is no tomorrow if they don't have their best effort tonight. They're at home. They haven't been great here in D.C., but I would expect them to come out with a much, much better effort and a stronger push to start the game. That's been a focal point for this team throughout the postseason, and they have been very good for the most part. Last game, they did not have a great opening minute to the game, and they weren't very sharp to open the second period either, and it cost them big time. I don't see that happening again. I spoke to several players yesterday and head coach Barry Trotz, and they feel like they've overcome so much adversity this season, that they have faced so many situations where they could have folded, but instead they pushed back and they leaned on their mental resolve, and they showed that they were mentally tougher than previous incarnations of this team, and they were able to get through it. I would expect them to get a win tonight, and we're going back to Tampa for game seven.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, and I have seen that resiliency with this team, and that's why I have this weird sort of faith today. But I can't explain those moments, those several minutes, those periods of just nonchalance. I just don't get it. What? And I'm sure they don't. If they knew the answer, they wouldn't do it. But, you know, what is your best guess as to what plagues this team at times?
The one thing I would say is a lot of times nonchalance is actually the other team, which has very, very good, high-skilled, high-paid players doing what they do best. And sometimes if you let down 5% and they raise their game 5%, it's not a huge difference, but it can lead to a breakdown. It can lead to a goal. Look, I don't think the Capitals would argue if I told them that the opening 45 seconds of of the last game in the first period were probably their worst of the entire postseason, as well as that opening minute of the second period. They simply did not look like they were completely dialed in, but sometimes it's just the other team being dialed in. And again, from whatever everything I heard yesterday, this sounds like a confident group, and I would not be surprised if they come out with their best effort of the postseason tonight.
Tarek, no power plays for the Caps in Game 5, just one for Tampa. I don't expect a lot of penalties to be called tonight. Is that something the coaching staff has stressed to the Caps? Don't expect to get a lot of man-up opportunities. If we're going to win this game, it's got to be 5v5.
You know, I'm sure that's something they have talked about. I was surprised. I mean, how do you get through an entire playoff game without drawing one power play? That just doesn't seem possible. I know it's probably happened at times in the past, but still, for only one penalty to be called in a Game 5 that of an Eastern Conference Final, that seems implausible. I'm not saying that the officiating crew is... conspiring against the Capitals. I am the last person that believes that officiating crews conspire against a specific team. I feel like over the course of a regular season, over the course of a playoff, over the course of a series, the officiating actually tends to even out. But I thought that the missed call on the Steven Stamkos tripping Dmitry Orlov was a huge turning point, and the fact the Capitals didn't get a single power play, I just don't get that.
What did Tampa do strategically to bottle up the first line in particular?
Well, they matched their fourth line, which is a very, very good fourth line. Ryan Callahan has a lot of experience going up against Alex Ovechkin, and they outplayed the first line, which, you know, isn't something that you would expect when you look at the matchup on paper, but that's a very, very solid fourth line. On a lot of teams, that'd be your third line. For Tampa Bay, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, that's a fourth line, and they have done a great job against the first line. The first line simply has to do more. And Alex Ovechkin and Evgeny Kuznetsov, they have been carrying the load for this team offensively. They both scored the only two goals last game. I still think there's a little more there, but I think there also needs to be some extra scoring from that second and third line too. The Caps need production from throughout the lineup. That is what made them such a strong team during the regular season, and they simply have to get back to getting some goals from Lars Eller and from Brett Connolly and from TJ Oshie. Those guys have to chip in, especially if the Lightning is doing another good job tonight shutting down Ovechkin and Kuznetsov.
Joined by Tarek El-Bashir, Caps reporter for NBC Sports Washington, live from Capitals Kettler Iceplex. Matt Niskanen took the Game 5 loss especially hard, took a lot of the blame on his own shoulders. How is he responding to that a little more than 24 hours later? And what can we expect out of the defensive pairings tonight? Orlov with a bad giveaway in the neutral zone early in that game as well that led to the first goal.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that number two and number nine have seen better days than Game 5. That was not their best performance. I don't think Matt Niskanen was the reason that the Capitals lost that game. He has been sharper. He was on the ice for two of the goals and probably had a chance to make an extra play on the first two. But I wouldn't blame him. You know, other things happen. I think that was simply Matt Niskanen doing what leaders do, which is, hey, look, everybody, the media's in the room. Come over here. I'll take the blame. Let the other guys kind of slide. The other players know that they could have done more as well. Leaders put that blame on their shoulders, and that's what I think Niskanen was doing there in that situation.
Tarek, how do you sort of grade the play of Braden Holtby lately? He sort of was kind of the impetus for this whole turnaround in the playoffs and played extremely well.
Right.
I'm not going to say he's played poorly lately, but I don't think he's playing at the same level. How much of that is on him, and how much of that is on the guys in front of him?
You know, I would say an even split. I think the guys in front of him had played better in the games leading up to the trip back down there to Tampa. But look, over the course of a series, your numbers are what your numbers are, and I think Braden Holtby would be the first to say he would like his save percentage to be significantly higher at this point. When you talk about the determining factors in playoff series, three things jump to mind. It's goaltending, power play, and penalty kill. And goaltending and penalty kill sometimes are pretty closely linked, because your most important penalty killer is your goaltender. And I thought that Andrei Vasilevskiy outplayed Braden Holtby the past couple of games. I think that you look back at that third period when the Capitals made that furious push. Vasilevskiy stopped 12 of 13 shots, you know, including that in tight save he made on John Carlson. Those are the kind of saves that at this kind of this time of year you simply have to get from your goaltender. I think every goal is its own entity. You know, there are mitigating factors on every goal that's scored in the NHL, and especially this time of year. That said, you know, you'd like to see one of those hugely timely saves from Holtby the past couple of games. He delivered on those in the Pittsburgh series. He's going to need a huge game tonight. He has not been very good this postseason at home. I think he's got a 3-4 record on F Street this postseason, while Vasilevskiy, he's been lights out on the road. I think he's 5-1 away from Amalie Arena. So Holtby's got his work cut out, and he's got to deliver tonight.
Joined by Tarik El-Bashir, covers the Capitals for NBC Sports Washington. Do we expect any lineup changes, some lineup shuffling by Barry Trotz tonight?
I wouldn't expect any. We're going to see out here on the ice in a few minutes when the morning skate begins. We'll be able to track those lines. You know, one thing that Coach Trotz has been very consistent about is what you see at the morning skate is what you're going to get during the game. So if there are any changes, I'll have them on Twitter right away. I don't think that line changes at this time of the year while you're facing elimination, I don't think that's something that would get the results you're looking for. I think that the one change that Trotz always has up his sleeve is reuniting Backstrom with Ovechkin. I wouldn't do that. I know that happened last game. I think Kuznetsov and Ovechkin have played very well together. I would keep them as your number one center and your number one left wing.
All right, Tarik. We'll be looking forward on Twitter to see if there are any changes. Appreciate the insight as always. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, pal.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
All right. Zamboni in the background.
That's right. Resurfacing the ice.
He feels like me. And how can you not? He feels like we're going to see a different team, different effort to start this game.
We'd better, because if we see the same team that took the ice in game five.
Big loser.
We're going to be clapping up the Caps for a good season at the end of game six.
Right, yeah. Then we'll be talking about bags championships.
As Tampa advances to take on Vegas.
Listen, I won't be in any mood to talk them up and congratulate them on their victory over the Pens or anything like that. If they lose tonight, I'm going to be extremely disappointed.
Right, and then
and
they'll
I
go
can't
back
believe
to
I allowed myself to get emotionally involved in this team, but I did.
And then I'll go back to our previous conversation, where I think everybody said, except for me, that the season would have been dubbed a success.
Right.
Dub it a success if they lose the series.
The way it's played out, it'd be hard to. Because they got over that big mountain.
Participation trophy.
And then they just laid an egg.
Right.
After getting off to a big start and really an opportunity to stomp on the throats. You go up 3-0, it's over.
And then also, I mean, I guess you can just get over it. The other dagger is that their former general manager took an expansion team to the Stanley Cup Finals right in the first year.
Yeah, that's just bizarre. I don't even know what to
make of
that.
Well, they must have gotten the complete hook job with the rules and the draft. Because, look, I understand Greg Wyshynski's point that you have to be excited about it. It's great for Vegas. It's great for the league. But it's not great from the perspective of a long-suffering
right
Caps fan, who, by the way, and I know this is 40-plus years ago, when the Caps were an expansion team, they had 8 wins. It took them
eight
wins in the whole season. It took them 9 seasons to qualify for the playoffs. So forgive me if it's hard for me to really get amped up for the Vegas Golden Knights having a chance to skate the Stanley Cup after being in existence for 5 minutes.
You wouldn't be excited about any team
right
skating for the Cup. So
well,
you're so pro-Caps.
I'm less excited for an expansion team doing it in their first crack.
He's perturbed.
I know.
If San Jose wouldn't be perturbed.
Look, if the Penguins won it again, I'd be like, oh, ho-hum, Pens win it again. They beat the Caps on the way to the Stanley Cup. They're winning another Stanley Cup. Probably, would that be their sixth? I think the sixth in their franchise history.
Here's,
at least they've been around for a while.
Here's how it'll be palatable tomorrow for me anyway. if they're flying around, like, kind of like game four minus the mistakes. Like, they're flying around.
You would accept a moral victory?
I would. Oh. If they're flying around and they dominate play and for whatever reason they just can't get it in and they lose 3-2 or something, at least they gave it their all.
By the way,
but if it's a dud and they get smoked, that's going to be depressing.
Here's what I do expect. I fully expect a makeup call for the non-call on Dmitry Orlov. I mean, the Caps got absolutely...
Does that even exist?
I don't know.
A game later?
I don't know if it exists or not.
Face. He's got the face.
I'm expecting it. If we don't get some sort of borderline makeup, borderline bogus call, I'm going to be disappointed tonight.
All right. Phone number if you want to chime in.
You should be too.
800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know, Drab's moving next week,
right?
Buying a home. Is moving away from, you know, Valdez and Drab were basically neighbors. Apparently Drab is pawning off his sofa to Valdez. Valdez is butt size.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Although he's giving him the
silly
deadline.
Sectional.
He just said, if you don't pick it up by Wednesday, it's going to be on the curb on Thursday.
Although I asked him this morning when we were talking about the sofa, I looked in his eye and I said, be honest, did you hook it on the sofa?
Right. Oh, the answer is yes.
With his wife or solo?
Either.
I think solo. Yeah.
So of course, solo. Yeah.
I actually don't think I ever hooked it solo on that couch.
Were you normally a bedroom
guy? Not my sweet spot.
Where's your sweet spot? The bedroom?
Bedroom, yeah.
Really? Was that why? Because, like, no windows or anything? Like,
no one can come through the front door.
I can hear the stairs creaking.
Warning. Get away. Yeah. Because you like to do it while your wife is downstairs. See, that's what's so funny about
that's,
you.
That's devious.
Right. You're devious that way. Like, your wife is downstairs just minding her own business, and you go upstairs and sneak one.
He's probably got his house ready like the Home Alone house.
How often do you do
he's
that?
He's got tripwire.
Yeah. I mean, his wife goes up the stairs, paint can swings, almost hits her in the head.
Now, listen.
Plus,
we
have the history issue. He's always, remember, like, he's left the screen.
Well, that's just sloppy. That's just right. Sloppy.
Right. Well, hold on. So, your wife has does she have regular hours, like with her job, or she worked during the day?
She works during the day. 9 to 5 most of the time.
So I would think you knock most of that out during the day.
Sometimes before a nap.
Right. Sometimes.
Most
you mean
of
like
time.
Every day?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Weekdays.
Yeah, right.
Days that end in Y.
Right. Okay.
Naps.
Right.
Like there's 3-hour naps.
So then when are you sneaking upstairs? I find this hysterical.
Sometimes before bed.
Sometimes before bed, like help
she's
you go
still
to sleep.
Up.
Maybe the Caps are playing. Maybe you've had too many Mountain Dews.
Hopefully it's during intermission. You're missing
this is right before lights out.
Right before lights out, and then how do you know that she's not going to hurry up there? That's why hence the creaking steps.
Yeah.
How many times has that happened? Were you
that I've been busted?
Well, not that you've been busted, but that you have to stop because you hear the steps creaking.
Or have you trained Oakley to bark like three times?
All the time? You must be so frustrated.
I'm the quickest minimizer on the planet.
Really?
Yeah.
You can shrink that screen?
Yeah.
Or do you minimize it or do you X out? Do you hope that she's then going to
minimize it because it's usually just a false alarm. And
and then you can get back to business?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you got to restart.
That's pretty ballsy. I think that's pretty ballsy. I think most guys, they don't really have the courage to do that.
Might be a thrill for him, you know?
You know what? Maybe that is.
Just living on the edge?
You know what, though?
Kind of,
I'm distraught.
I think you're on to something.
The new house is carpeted on the stairs.
Really? Maybe want to rip those out.
Well, we all know hardwood is way better than carpet anyway.
Oh, of course.
It just pummels
maybe
it.
Maybe you need to set up some sort of like nanny cam or something so you can know who's coming up the stairs.
Yeah, giveaway.
You know? Like just like some one of those little pinhole things like she wouldn't even know.
Holy
but just, like,
shit.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's just there so you don't get busted.
It's not a bad idea.
Right?
Yes, but I'm giving him my couch.
If Valdez, is that a thing for you?
What?
You don't try to sneak it in.
No,
yeah.
No.
But do you have an upstairs in yours? Or
no.
I feel like yours is on the same.
It's
floor,
all. It's all one
floor.
Level.
Yeah, it'd be harder for you to pull that off.
Right.
Right. I mean, she could be passed out on the couch or something, and then you could go sneak in and knock one out.
Yeah, or like she's sleeping in the bedroom or something like
and
that.
And then you go sneak out on the couch.
Or she's wearing like really loud shoes. Hey, Laura, here's some tap shoes. You need to wear these around the house at all times.
We'll have to give our wives clogs so we can hear them walk.
That's hilarious.
By the way, Valdez earlier said, everybody knows Valdez loves crabs.
Yes, loves
right.
them.
He said that there's never one time when he visits his parents that his mom doesn't have crab dip
of
ready.
Of course.
You're kidding.
He brought never
his,
one was, time.
He brought leftover crab dip.
I brought leftover crab dip.
Is that what I saw Drabby dipping his dirty fingers into that.
Ridiculously good.
And I was like, what
well,
is
it
he
is.
Doing? I thought he was eating your nubby tuna fish that you bring in here all the time.
No, it wasn't tuna. It was crab dip.
Yeah.
So I went over to my parents' house for my brother's baby shower.
So hold on. So if you tell your mom, like if she knows you're going to show up.
If there is any chance me and my brother are going to be over the house for anything.
She makes sure she has crab
yes,
dip ready.
Yes, there will be
she
crab dip available.
Ball, we've got to go down to the wharf, get some crabs.
To say 100% is unbelievable. Like generally speaking, when I visit my mom, and most of the time it's with the kids and the whole family, she does have brownies ready.
Right.
But there are sometimes when she doesn't.
Right.
And there's sometimes when she might mix it up with the cake.
Yeah, but you're off. I feel like your mom's way more than he
their
said.
Their crab
his.
Hustle is 100%.
Maybe so.
They don't sleep on the crabs.
I don't know. How often do you visit the folks?
Maybe
in Pasadena.
Maybe once a month, once every two
okay,
months.
It's a little less frequent.
It's not that
but
frequent.
But still, 100%. Hey, you know
always,
what?
Always. If, although,
where do they get them?
What?
Where do they get them?
It's homemade, right?
Yeah, it's homemade. I mean, you just buy the crab meat.
Right, well, so she's just buying it in the tub.
Yeah, you buy the jumbo.
It's really
lump.
Expensive.
I know. She loves her children.
Yeah, she does.
Although she could have done a better
it's
job
like
picking out
$20 a pound. I think.
Yeah, she could have done a better job picking out the shells this time.
Really?
Yeah.
Got too many
it's
shells.
So many shells.
It's almost Memorial Day. That means it must be time to open the above grounder at your parents' house.
I saw that thing over the weekend. It looks like it's ready to collapse.
Oh, really?
Can you take a picture of it? A current picture. Do you have like a deck surrounding it so it kind of covers up, makes it seem like a faux in-ground?
Yes.
That's a pretty good way to do it. If you were going to go above ground, if you have it above ground and you just have the thing above ground, that's
like
just
out
so
in the
nuts.
Middle of the yard.
But if at least you have a deck built around it, it looks kind of built in, that's somewhat passable. Although, what is it about? What's the greatest above ground pool? Like 5 feet deep? Like if you dive in,
well,
you paralyze
yourself. Yeah, our deep end is about 5.5 feet.
You definitely can't dive into it.
Oh, you definitely can't.
No. Can? A 5 foot?
You can. You
I mean,
might
you
break
can,
your neck.
Like, you know, you dive in and out. Like you're doing like a swimming race.
Well, you're not supposed to dive into 5 feet of water.
No, you
okay,
can't.
You definitely snap your neck like a toothpick.
No, you're not diving down. You're just skimming.
We all grew up with friends who had a pool in their backyard. We used to play basketball there. It was 6 feet. Deep end. You used to dive in the thing all the time.
You just dive out.
Right.
You don't dive down. If you dive down.
It's not like you're diving from a high point.
You deserve your
fate. I'm still in form when I dive, so I need to go straight.
I'm sure your jump is that high.
It's amazing.
Come on, I don't even know why we have a pool, because we would always just go swim in the river, too.
No. That is gross.
Hillbillies.
You think swimming above ground is gross?
We would actually use the pool to wash
off
from swimming in the river.
You pull a
and you wonder you have vitiligo.
Yeah, right. No wonder you got spots on your penis.
Washing off with the pool.
So do your parents, like, do they get sized at pool parties?
Oh, growing up, we used to have pool parties all the time.
Yeah, but what
in the
about
summer.
Now with the old?
Yeah, those have died down.
No,
yeah, with the hurting deck and everything.
They barely use it now.
Do you think your parents have ever been out there and had a little fun in the pool?
That's a good question.
That's 100%. That's 100%.
But it's just a pool. It's not like a hot tub. A hot tub has more of the lure.
No, but like back in the day, 100%.
Well, now they're retired. They don't have any kids around. They can do it all the time.
Maybe. Not retired yet. End of June.
Okay, that's true.
That pool needs a wrecking ball or a pin.
My parents, because they usually open it up around Memorial Day every season, but they got to get it drained because of all the rain last week. And my parents, by the way, they fill it up with a hose. They don't get a pool company. They just let a hose run.
They treat it.
What?
Then they treat it.
Yeah, then they treat it.
Honestly, the hose has to be on for 24 hours.
Yeah, it runs like a day.
Yeah. But expensive.
It's
right?
cheaper than the pool company to fill it up.
I have friends that have a pool, and they said that now they do. They have it's like a saltwater pool. That's the new thing now, right? Because it's less chemicals and all that.
Well, if you want a saltwater pool, go swim in the bay.
It rubs the lotion on
right,
its skin
but I think people like
gets
their home
the hose
pools.
Again.
It's cheaper to maintain and all that, right?
Maybe
do they do that with above ground pools or no?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so because above ground pools
that's
have
like polishing a turd. You know what I mean? You know,
well, no. Above ground pools have lining in them,
right?
So my guess is the salt would.
Yeah, right.
Kinda. Can we quit with the above ground pools versus below ground pools?
Well, I mean,
just call it the Nubs pool.
He grew up around above ground pools.
My dad won't be home till 11 today, so we can't get a picture of him.
Of
the pool.
Because your mom can't do it?
My mom's not there right now.
Oh,
how
okay.
many how many trees are close by that just pepper the pool with leaves?
We used to have one, and then we cut it down.
Oh, okay.
And then the sticks would get in the pool and the skimmer and everything. And then you have to fish it out, the net.
How big is it? Is it as big as your studio?
It actually
it's
looks
bigger.
Like a big size.
It's a, bit, it's a pretty
a
big size. Well, I would think the cost of building a deck around and above, you might as well just do a silly in-ground, right? The cost would be pretty expensive.
I mean, I don't know the cost difference between an above ground and an in ground pool.
Well, I'm assuming.
I'm guessing it's substantial.
I'm assuming.
I agree.
The above ground pool is probably like $100. That's like nothing. But I'm saying building the deck around it, that's an expensive proposition.
Yeah.
So why not? So why not just build a silly in ground?
Because they got the in ground. I mean, they get the above ground pool probably first.
Then they
and some
add
years
a deck
probably
later.
Probably
right.
No, it's probably like a kit where it's an all in one thing.
It's probably a nubby kit.
I mean, there's a lot of expense involved. If they do
it's a rickety.
If they do an in-ground pool, then they have to build a real fence around it. Can't just have
the thing I don't understand, honestly, is when you live around here, having a pool, it's a nice luxury.
We have a real fence. We only have half of our yards covered in chain link.
Right. So you have a half and half.
Yeah, I built the fence with my dad growing up.
Why didn't you get rid of the chain link?
Probably because we didn't want to build the rest
already,
of it.
Yeah.
It was already there.
It was already there, and you didn't care that it looked nubby.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And we probably have to talk about it with the neighbors and everything.
The thing I don't understand about having a pool around here is that it's like warm for like 2 months. It's just, you know what I mean?
We had a lot of fun with the pool growing up.
Yeah. I mean, people
I had
it.
Fun with the sprinkler. I mean, you know.
We would have epic birthday parties where we'd get crabs, and we would go jump in the pool and clean off.
Maryland's for crabs. He lived it.
Right.
Yeah. He lived it.
I'm jealous. I didn't have a pool growing up. I had to go to the neighborhood pool. Although we had a great time at the neighborhood pool.
Absolutely. You had to climb the tennis ladder.
Yeah. My pool now, we have this nice little pool. They don't have a snack bar. It kills me.
Oh, a pool without a snack bar? You can't call that a pool.
No. They have...
Mine doesn't have one either.
They
That's
have
weird.
Their own grills because everyone's all like granola-y and they don't want to sell like junk food to the kids.
Oh,
so meanwhile, when I go to the pool, all I want is like a grilled cheese. I just want like junk food.
And like now and laters.
Yeah.
Something to rot your teeth.
You mean
teeth.
Like some gummy worms
right.
and like an orange creamsicle?
Perfect.
That's what you get when you're at the pool.
Yeah, a slice of bad pizza.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Hot dog. Maybe some nachos. Maybe, God, what are those things? Those little, not Slurpees. The
Slush puppies?
Slush puppy. Give me a silly slush puppy at the pool.
Knock
French
off
fries. Yeah, no, all we have is a grill. You got to bring your own food.
That's our thing.
It is our thing.
If you don't have a snack bar at your pool, you go to a low-rent pool.
I don't think it's
not
uncommon.
It's not low-rent. It's just...
It's a sign of the times?
They think they're too fancy for it. It's the opposite of that.
I think it is a little bit of a sign of the times.
It's the opposite of that, yeah.
We grew up with the snack bar and a couple of arcade games.
You know, the games of Miss Pac-Man I played while I was eating a bad slice of pizza.
In
so
school,
many.
Do kids even get chocolate milk? Or are they kind of allowed to not even get? Are they not even allowed to get that anymore? I used to love chocolate milk.
I don't even think I knew other sort of milk existed right. in elementary school outside of chocolate milk.
Right.
Do they nowadays, they can get soda. And like a lot of times, there's soda machines.
Yeah, but aren't they cutting down on that?
One would hope.
One would hope. That's horrible. You want to have the right to get a soda.
Pass the sugar.
Yeah.
Give me a Mountain Dew in the middle of the day.
You have the right to have silly chocolate milk. If it weren't for chocolate milk, I would have had no milk.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Didn't you have cereal every day?
Other than that.
I had cereal this morning. Count. Why wasn't I pouring chocolate milk on it instead of regular milk?
You should have done that.
It's a bad move by me.
They should have done that.
I should have done it.
All right. Let me come back. We're running out of time. Let's get to the entertainment page. I won't bore you too much with royal wedding stuff. But we got, what do I have? Oh, shocker, Kardashian news, the Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner news. Well, I'm trying to get, is there anything here that's going to intrigue you? Let me see here.
I can give you my Deadpool 2 review.
Oh, you know what?
Saw that over the weekend.
We can do that. We can do that. And there's a crazy story about the lava and the volcano.
Yeah.
I had no idea how dangerous that stuff is. I mean, it was hot.
No, bulletin, lava, dangerous.
No, I knew it was hot. Yeah. I didn't know that they say some chunks of it weigh like a refrigerator. Like, it's super heavy.
Right.
Like, who knew this? I'll tell you the story. Don't go anywhere.
All right, I'm not nixing the EP. I just want to give the listeners a chance to win tickets to go see Roger Daltrey perform The Who's Tommy Live. June 10th, Wolf Trap. Tickets on sale now at wolftrap.org and the Wolf Trap box office. But you can win your way in right now by calling 800-636-1067. 10th caller will get those tickets and get more details at thefandc.com/contests. It's courtesy of Wolf Trap.
All right, boys. I always like to start off with the box office, and Cakes has some insight here. Deadpool 2 did 125 million in its opening weekend. It's already made its budget domestically. It was made for 110 million. You got to imagine what it's done worldwide, probably more than double that. Avengers Infinity War made 28 million, and Book Club made 12 million, rounding out the top three. Cakes, we need your official review.
I was thoroughly entertained by Deadpool 2.
What's it about? I don't know anything. What was Deadpool 1 about?
It's basically about an anti-superhero. He's foul-mouthed. Ugh. He's
who's
funny.
The star?
Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
He's irreverent, funny. There's a lot of action.
Are you being serious when you ask that question?
Yeah, because I don't listen. It's something I'm not interested in.
I know, but you do the EP every day, and it's like one of the top stories.
I wouldn't read about it.
If honestly,
I would say Deadpool 2 number 1.
You know that Ryan Reynolds was the star of Deadpool.
Correct. Because it wouldn't register with me.
Yeah. What former Junkies in studio guest is also in Deadpool?
Wouldn't have any idea.
Who's been in trouble with the law.
I don't know. The guy, the big six
exactly,
footer that was
TJ.
In here.
TJ Miller.
Yeah, but I didn't know that.
He provides very good comic relief throughout both Deadpool and Deadpool 2. I give it a solid 4.5 cake batters.
Oh, really?
Enjoyed it a lot. It was very good.
How were the post-movie credits?
It was okay. I mean, Kevin said it's must-see, have to stay for it.
How long did
it was
you have to right. stay? About 4 minutes?
No, it was pretty quick
mid-credit.
This time.
Mid-credit.
Yeah. It was within like 2 or 3 minutes after the movie ended.
So 4.5, you highly recommend it.
I liked it a lot. I did this a lot. Slapped the old knee
really?
A bunch.
A lot of 80s references, 90s references.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it with Dukes, who I think loved it. It's a lot of references to old comic book shtick or Deadpool shtick that was just over my head. I give it 3.5. I didn't like it as much as the first one, but, you know, the comic book dorks out there loved it.
Right.
I liked the first one a lot. Did you like this one better than the first one?
Liked it better.
Really?
Yep.
Valdez, is this up your alley or no?
No, I'm just thinking about Chad tongue-lashing Drab for him calling him a comic book dork.
You know what Duke said to me after the show?
Yeah.
I didn't understand something in the post scene.
He was so mad at you.
He said, what you're asking me right now is the equivalent is if I came up to you and said, when Tom Brady throws a pass, what is that called? He was like, you don't know what a forward pass is.
Right.
That's the equivalent of you not knowing why Ryan Reynolds' mouth was taped shut.
Right.
Or whatever.
You know what?
I didn't really know
either.
Reference.
In your defense, I don't really know either, but I still was entertained.
Right.
I had a good time.
I should go just to point out everything I don't understand about
the
movie.
Well, it would be the whole movie.
Yeah, the entire movie I wouldn't understand. All right,
but in the end, it's a good guy versus a bad guy. He is a good guy. He's kind of twisted, but he's a good guy.
Yeah,
who's the villain?
Juggernaut. I mean, Evie's brain's melted. Right.
I don't have the curiosity. I'm just not into it. All right, so I mentioned the story about the lava, and obviously lava's dangerous. It's hot. I get that. I had no idea, though, that – remember we saw these viral pictures of guys playing golf with the lava spitting out behind it? It was on last
Mostly
week.
Mostly the smoke and the explosion behind
it. Apparently, juggernaut.
Some dude had his leg shattered by spitting lava from that volcano in Hawaii. They say that it's extremely heavy.
And not like shattered like the OAR hit.
No.
Like full-on shattered.
Lava splatters can weigh as much as a refrigerator, and even small pieces of the spatter can kill. So apparently this dude was on like the third-story balcony of, I don't know if it was a hotel or his crib or whatever, and some of the spatter hit him, and it shattered his leg.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Well, I mean, the lava's got to be, I'm just guessing, about 4,000 degrees? I mean.
Yeah, but it's not the heat that did it. It's the weight of it.
Flying lava, probably not good.
It's
flying
the weight. Fragments. It's not the heat that
shattered. So the heat didn't have any impact on it? It was just the weight
They're
of the
saying it's the weight.
Lava spatter?
The spatter can weigh as much as a refrigerator. So
See,
it was flying
intense.
Through the air, and it shattered. It's like it was so heavy. You never know. I would have thought that was just, you know,
don't think
like
a flying William Perry would tumble your balcony?
It would definitely
do some
damage. I mean, everybody saw the video of the big lava blob that went across the street and ate a Ford Mustang.
Yes.
It just lit it on fire and completely enveloped it in about 3 seconds.
Now, you can, I'm guessing, outrun a lava blob at that point.
I mean, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, maybe if you're fast. If you're slow and hurting, you might not be able to outrun the
blob. If you could get a silly, like your dream home, but it was next to a volcano, which hadn't erupted for hundreds of years.
Well, but it was due at any moment.
I subscribe to the past due theory.
But hundreds of years.
That volcano is past due to erupt and destroy my dream home.
Well, don't they say
you get Cal Ripken's home, which Adam Jones just bought.
Okay.
Have your whole family live there, extended family, whatever. But it happens to be close to a dormant volcano.
And it's been dormant for how long?
750 years.
Oh, well, at that point, I'm gonna look at the actuary table and see how many years I have left, and I'll probably roll the dice. If it hasn't erupted in 750 years, my odds are pretty good.
What about I was reading this that they say, you know, it's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if, it's when that Earth is pummeled by another asteroid.
Yeah.
And that, you know, like 250 million years ago or whatever the last time it happened.
Yeah.
It you know, I mean, extinction, like immediate extinction of everything.
It's an ELE, extinction level event.
Exactly. And that it's not a matter of if it happens.
I think I stole that from Deep Impact. I'm pretty sure I did.
Probably from a movie.
Confirm that.
It's not a matter of if it happens. It's a matter of when. And we're basically past our due date on that. And if you start thinking about stuff like that, all these, you know, asteroids that we're dodging, does that trouble you at all?
No, not whatsoever. Because it's out of my control. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I would have taken it as well as Tia Leone did when she's hugging her dad when the big tsunami comes in and pummels them.
Right.
Again, at the end of Deep Impact. Everything I know is culled from movies and entertainment, not really from books.
Right.
Just to make it clear. I think everybody knows already.
Oh, such a bad beat, personally, a couple weeks ago. I have a neighbor who wrote a book.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't be that specific. What are the chances he listens to the show? I don't think he listens to the
show. Well, it's going to get back to him. He may not listen,
it will 100%.
But whatever you're about to say.
Do you actually think you're going to say something that won't get back to them?
I just engaged.
The neighbor of a neighbor of a neighbor, friend of a friend of a friend, will say it to them.
Nice man, engaged.
But you have no interest in his book.
And he went to his trunk and pulled out a book. And now I read the first chapter. And
how do you think people felt when you gave them your book?
I didn't.
Yeah.
They had to buy it.
Well,
so
still.
I made hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Hundreds, not thousands.
Dude, it will get back to them. I was watching a play in downtown D.C. on Friday night. Waitress. Loved it, by the way. Highly entertained. After the play was over and the house lights come up, guy taps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, what's up, John? Loved your show for the last 20 years. Been listening forever. Never seen this guy before in my life. Just out of nowhere." He recognized your boy. And he called me John instead of Cakes.
That was good.
That was kind of weird.
Is that a play?
Yeah.
Wants to go formal. Did you wear a jacket?
No. Too hot. Way too hot. Wore a button down and some baggy jeans.
That's good. I like when people do that. Yesterday I was in line for the chicken nuggets at the Nats game, and a guy was standing next to me for a couple of minutes, and then finally he was like, "What's up, JP? Just want to say a big fan of the show." He's like, "I didn't want to make it awkward."
Chicken.
I'd rather you say hello than tweet the next day I was standing next to JP and didn't say anything.
Right. It's always nice when people say hello. I've said before, and I maintain it, Elizabeth Hurley is the GOAT of all goats for women over 50.
Yeah, she tweeted that yesterday.
Yeah, there's another picture of her.
Instagram.
I don't know what she's doing. She's wearing a bikini, but she knows exactly what she's doing.
She's getting
attention dollars.
You don't know her TV show, EB.
Nope.
The Royals.
For sure, you know.
Yep.
I watched it.
A lot of people were making a big to-do about Tiger Woods and his little photo op with our former Junkies guest, Paige Sporanic.
Yes, you got it. You nailed it.
We love Paige, and I know Tiger does too, 100%. Apparently, he gave her a chipping lesson.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, we only have like a minute. Drab said to go to Mike, who has some asteroid information for us.
No, I don't want to go to him. He's just going to scare us. I don't want to go to a scare guy.
Oh, he says it's going to be 100 million years or something.
All right. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I know you're trying to scare us.
You have about 40 seconds.
No, I'm actually trying to make you feel better. If you look up at the moon tonight, which is a little past almost first quarter, but
come on quickly.
The major large impacts on the moon are at 100 million year intervals, the ones that are 100 miles in diameter. But so 100 million years.
So what he's saying is it's going to be a long time before a big ass asteroid hits Earth. We're fine.
Let's hope.
I want to let people know, if you're an experienced HVAC technician, plumber, or pest control technician, and you want to join an industry leader, Crop Metcalf is the answer. They're looking for the best to join their five-star team. Crop Metcalf technicians enjoy excellent bennies, competitive wages, and a consistent year-round work schedule. If you're ready to jumpstart your HVAC, plumbing, or pest control career, call 1-800-GO-CROP. Or visit CropMetcalf.com and submit your resume today. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
This doesn't make any sense. EB's the Crop Metcalf guy. Why are you doing this
read? He was sweating the timing because we're almost towards the end
of the show. There's 0% chance Eric could have pulled that off.
This is an outrage. This is preposterous.
All right, granddaddy.
Come on.
Should never happen.
Go Caps. Go Caps.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.